You know, there's just so much more to see than I imagined, and it's just been very enlightening.
Kathy Booker of Lynchburg, Virginia, is with her husband and four kids. They're among the hundreds of thousands of visitors who flock to Gettysburg every year. She's enjoying the view of Pickett's Charge, which the National Park Service has worked in recent years to restore to its 1863 appearance.
And that's how it should be, because that's what we're here for, is to get a sense of what the soldiers experience, not what modern technology experiences.
What Booker doesn't know is that the park hasn't always looked the way it does now. But Jerry Bennett knows.
Those big rocks you see down there is the Devil's Den area. And just to confirm it for you, I'm going to show you the picture. It's almost identical to where we're standing here with this fellow. Here's the Devil's Den.
The former chairman of the Gettysburg National Military Park Advisory Commission knows the battlefield better than most. The photo he's pointing to verifies the historic view from Little Round Top, made famous during the second day of battle when the 20th Maine repulsed a Confederate attack. But as Bennett walks closer to the edge of the hill, he points to where trolley cars, yep, trolley cars, cut through the hallowed ground via the Gettysburg Electric Railway. By the early 1890s, those cars were bringing tourists right onto the battlefield, even dropping them off at an entertainment complex erected just east of the area known as Devil's Den. The trolley system wound up in court, and in a landmark 1896 decision, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in favor of the government's right to condemn. It set the precedent for modern eminent domain laws. In downtown Gettysburg, near the spot passengers would board the trolleys, is Walter Powell. The former president of the Gettysburg Battlefield Preservation Association says the high court's ruling did not actually doom the business.
Ironically, once they had achieved the judgment, the railroad's up and running, the trolley line's up and running, some of the veterans who had once opposed it are now riding on it, and the opposition dies away, and effectively the railroad continues operation until World War I.
The Gettysburg Electric Railway case is just one example of the many controversies surrounding and iterations of the battlefield over the past 150 years. During World War I, Camp Colt was established in areas of the battlefield to train men for service overseas. At the time, it made sense. Powell notes, it is a military park after all.
So the War Department viewed it as land, of course, that can be used for military purposes.
A future president and future Adams County farm owner by the name of Dwight D. Eisenhower oversaw thousands of troops at Camp Colt. It's hard to imagine soldiers splashing around in a 50 by 30 foot swimming pool installed for them on the fields of Pickett's Charge, but the pool was hardly the last anachronism at the site. During the Second World War, German prisoners were housed on the grounds in POW camps. But when the war was over, business owners started seeing dollar signs. Jerry Bennett was a young man at the time and remembers the view from the high water mark where Pickett's Charge was thwarted by Union troops on the third day of the fight.
Well, you'd look just beyond that barn. You would look at a motel called the Battlefield Motel. You saw Stuckey's further down. Then you saw another motel. And then you saw the dance pavilions.
All those signs, all those restaurants, all those souvenir stands, that may seem terrible by today's preservationist standpoint.
That's Ben Dixon, a professor of geography at SUNY College of Oneonta in New York State. Born and raised in Gettysburg, Dixon authored a guidebook to the official records of the battle and is currently writing a book on the remaking of the battlefield.
But back in the 50s and 60s, that was absolutely essential to providing the necessary needs to keep visitors here longer. And therefore, the National Park Service was much more tolerant because then they could actually go back to Washington and say, look, here are our visitation stats, and we're able to keep the visitors here, and it justifies increased funding, which they absolutely needed.
Dixon says the battlefield commercialization of the mid-20th century, all the way through the demolition of the controversial 300-foot observation tower in the year 2000, was good for the times. In the last 20 years, the National Park Service has destroyed its old visitor's center in favor of a new state-of-the-art facility. Most recently, it knocked down the Cyclorama building. Dedicated in 1962, the Cyclorama building was constructed to house the famed Cyclorama painting of Pickett's Charge. Historian Walter Powell remembers the years-long debate.
Many argue that it was an oil drum in the middle of a landscape. It was inappropriate. But others, argue that it was a very important example of a style of architecture by a very prominent architect.
Ultimately, raising the building was another move toward restoring the battlefield to its 1863 appearance. Powell says the restoration efforts are fine and good, but visitors should seek out the entire history of the park for themselves.
The past is a foreign country. That's a phrase that the historian David Lowenthal pointed out. We can never really get back to the past. We can't. And we can't recreate the landscape. We can only create the illusion that we've recreated the landscape.
As for Jerry Bennett, who first started visiting the battlefield 70 years ago, he's still struck by what he calls the perpetual tension between preservation and development. Tension that's led to what he describes as the second, third, and fourth battles of Gettysburg. He doesn't know what the next dispute will be, but given the history of the park, he knows there will be more. I'm Matt Paul in Gettysburg.